Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair fourth quarter and full year 2014 financial results call on 2nd of April 2015. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or other similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Yevgeny Chuikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Systemair's fourth quarter 2014 and full year 2014 results conference call. Let me quickly introduce the key speakers online. We have Mikhail Shamolin, President and CEO of Systemair, and Vsevolod Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO. Before I turn the call over to them, let me highlight the fact that we have a presentation on our website, which we encourage everyone to view and read. www.systemair.ru. I will now turn over the call to Mikhail for his comments. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us today to discuss Systemair's fourth quarter and full year 2014 results. As many of you know, 2014 was a challenging year, both in corporate events and in macroeconomic terms. For this reason, the financial information presented today reflects the deconsolidation of Bashneft, as well as significant currency volatility in the reporting period. In light of those challenges, it is particularly endearing to report results which serve as testament to the strengths of our business model in the most unforeseen of situations. In 2014, 10 out of our 13 major businesses increased revenues, 11 out of 13 increased OEBDA. 9 were profitable, and 9 companies contributed to the growing dividend stream for the corporate center. On the consolidated level, this resulted in revenues growing by 7% year-on-year to 632 billion rubles, with MTS contributing 12 billion to our top-line growth, while developing assets added 31 billion rubles. Although our adjusted OEBDA fell by 7% year-on-year, this was largely driven by accrued provisions at MTS Bank and our encouragement for a more conservative management of its capital. In December, the bank successfully completed its additional share issue and raised 13.1 billion rubles. Its total capital adequacy ratio, N1, increased from 12% in 2013 to 18% at the end of 2014. Combined with our conservative credit strategy, cost optimization efforts, and greater focus on raising retail customer deposits, we believe that the bank has sufficient level of capital to restore positive results in 12 months' time. In the reporting period, we've had plenty of operating successes, and I now want to walk you through some of the highlights. Our retail asset, Detski Mir, demonstrated another strong set of results. Detski Mir's revenue increased 26% year-on-year to 45.4 billion rubles as a result of 14% growth in like-for-like sales and high revenue growth in stores opened in 2012 and 2013. Furthermore, its market share increased to 10% in 2014 from 8% in 2013. An important point is that we see efficiency levels at Detski Mir still growing despite its aggressive expansion strategy. Detski Mir's SG&A expenses again declined as a percentage of revenues to 30% in 2014 compared to 32% in 2013. We believe that in current environment, Детский мир has a strong competitive advantage and will be able to grow further its market share. Our plans are to continue the expansion of its retail network by operating approximately 40 new stores in 2015. Another important investment is RTI. In 2014, we have started the restructuring process of this business. Firstly, we increased our stake in Envision to 100%. We then implemented the cost optimization program across the business and are currently reviewing RTI's business units and strategy. In 2014, RTI's adjusted OEBDA in ruble terms grew by 17% year-on-year, while Envision's OEBDA loss narrowed from 2.5 billion rubles in 2013 to less than 1 billion rubles in 2014. In 2014, OEBDA margin of our defense solutions segment exceeded 15%, while OEBDA margin of the microelectronics segment increased to 11%. This year, we plan to strengthen our focus on defense solutions and microelectronics and optimize other loss-making divisions. Another promising business, which in our view has potential to deliver superior returns, is Les Invest, our pulp and paper assets. In addition to attractive acquisition terms, Les Invest is an export-oriented business with 61% of export revenues and substantial upside from a number of restructuring opportunities. Moreover, Les Invest is another example of Sistema's diligent and consistent M&A approach and reflects some of our key investment principles: a leading market position, a clear country advantage through resource availability, and competitive production costs globally. At this stage, our management team is focused on building new production capacity, as well as looking for complementary assets on this market. All operational developments are self-funded, while new acquisitions, depending on markets, may be financed either by own cash flow, debt, or at the Sistema level. With the current exchange rate, we anticipate the business to generate approximately 30 billion rubles in revenues and reach 14 to 15% OEBDA margin in 2015. We also expect a stable dividend flow to be generated from Les Invest in 2-3 years' time. Our agriculture investments continued to expand in 2014. RZ Agra demonstrated record harvest last year with crop yield of wheat growing by 50% to 4.5 tons per hectare, and gross harvest of wheat amounting to 189,000 tons. RZ Agra revenues nearly tripled year-on-year to 2.4 billion rubles with 31% OEBDA margin. In 2014, RZ Agra developed its own export channels as share of direct exports increased to 32%. In the fourth quarter, we acquired Step Group, STEP, which comprises of 5 agricultural companies in Krasnodar region, with total land bank of 26,000 hectares and 6.7 tons per hectare crop yield in 2014. Last year, we continued to actively develop our healthcare business, Medsi, which generated a 4% year-on-year revenue growth in ruble terms, despite the closure for redevelopment of some medical facilities during the year. Medsi's strategy is currently focused on increasing its market share in the medium term, both by constructing new treatment facilities and increasing patient loyalty. In the third quarter of 2013, we acquired Targin, an oil services company. During 2014, Targin's business and operating facilities were restructured. The company reported almost 24 billion rubles of revenues and improved its OEBDA margin to 13% in 2014 from 8% in 2013. In 2015, the company will continue to modernize its equipment and develop new product lines. In future, we plan to monetize the value of this asset through a sale to an industry partner. Our rail transportation business demonstrated growth despite the overall sector deteriorating in 2014. SG Trans revenues were up 1.5% year-on-year, while its OEBDA margin remained stable at 31%. Given the current environment, we have no immediate M&A plans in this sector, but we are reviewing ways to increase our returns through strategic opportunities. Our Indian business, SSTL, has largely delivered on its financial targets, and we expect that it will near OEBDA break-even in 2015 as we continue to reduce its reliance on the holding company. While numerous regulatory challenges continue to persist, the latest licensing rounds have shown both demand and price increase in the 800 megahertz spectrum that SSTL operates in. This is encouraging and may create strategic opportunities as the sector outlook evolves. 2014 was a difficult year for us. However, we have now navigated the challenges which we were presented with. The Bashnev case was an isolated event, and as previously disclosed, following the recent court decision, we will receive compensation of approximately 42 billion rubles net of our social investments as a good faith buyer. We look at the outcome of the Bashnev situation as an opportunity to strengthen our portfolio and operate our assets with greater financial discipline. Overall, our strategy remains the same. Sistema is an investment company focused on uncovering distressed, poorly operated, and undervalued assets, applying our strong turnaround and restructuring expertise, and inserting best-in-class management teams to spur growth in those companies. We have done this on many occasions and delivered exceptional value to shareholders on the way. Our current portfolio, though reduced in size, is diversified amongst still growing sectors of the Russian economy with the vast greenfield opportunities. Our objective is to grow the NAV of the business over the medium term to ensure a more balanced portfolio valuations, seek new acquisitions in areas which have clear competitive advantages based on production costs, resources or technology, and deliver shareholder value through monetizing assets in their investment cycles. We have a healthy pipeline of deals, medium and large in scale. Our preference at the moment is to assess investments which have export-orientated revenues, which will provide a natural hedge for currency volatility. For instance, resources or agriculture, as well as businesses in the mass consumer sectors, such as healthcare or retail. Fundamentally, Sistema remains in a strong financial position to execute these investments. We have a stable and growing dividend flow from the current portfolio investments, a much reduced corporate costs, and a process of vigorous assessment of each opportunity on its financial merits. Moreover, as a reflection of our strengths, belief in future growth and consistency in shareholder returns, Sistema's management intends to recommend to the board of Sistema to consider a dividend payment in April this year. Overall, therefore, we're optimistic on our prospects in 2015 and are fully focused on restoring and creating value for our shareholders. I will now turn the call to Всеволод Розанов to discuss our financial results in more detail. And Всеволод, over to you.
Thank you, Mikhail. Thank you all for joining us today. Before I begin my discussion of the group's performance in 2014, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that this is the last time when we present to you our financial results in accordance with US GAAP. Starting from the first quarter of 2015, we will report the group's results based on the International Financial Reporting Standards and in Russian rubles, as required by the Russian legislation. The reported results for the fourth quarter and full year of 2014 were mainly impacted by the deconsolidation of Bashneft and severe ruble depreciation against US dollar in the second half of 2014. The group also accrued one-off losses from impairment of some financial assets due to the negative moves in the group's operating economic environment, including write-off by MTS of a deposit in the Delta Bank. Despite all these factors, the group demonstrated strong operating performance as well as stability of its financial position as of the end of the reporting period. The group's revenues grew 7.2% year-on-year in ruble terms. All of the group's companies provided a strong contribution, with MTS and Detski Mir performing particularly well, reinforced by strong performance of Targin and newly acquired pulp and paper assets. The group's adjusted OIBDA decreased by 6.9% year-on-year in ruble terms in 2014, mainly due to the higher loan portfolio provisions accrued for individual customers at MTS Bank compared to the previous year. At the same time, 11 companies in the group reported positive OIBDA in the reporting year. Adjusted consolidated net income attributable to Sistema decreased by 14.5% year-on-year in ruble terms, mainly due to the increased foreign exchange transaction losses, which amounted to $548.6 million. Now let me update you on the group's debt position, which was significantly impacted by the ruble depreciation, resulting in a decrease in dollar terms of the group's total debt by 21.4% to $8.3 billion. In ruble terms, consolidated debt grew by 35% to 464.9 billion for the reporting year. The ruble depreciation also affected the currency structure of the group's debt position, leading to a decrease of the share of the ruble-denominated loans in the total debt portfolio to 59% from 66% a year ago. Following the disposal of Bashneft, we plan to decrease share of dollar-denominated debt. What's more, our new export-oriented asset, Less Invest, will add currency exposure to our consolidated revenues. At the holding level, our debt amounted to 69 billion rubles, with 78% share of long-term loans compared to 64% a year ago. To maintain a comfortable currency structure of the corporate debt in the fourth quarter, Corporate Center partially substituted dollar-denominated loans with the ruble-denominated through the payment of $173 million loan and the traction of the loan of 4.5 billion rubles. We are planning to further decrease the share of the dollar-denominated loans in the corporate center debt portfolio. At the end of 2014, the corporate center cash position amounted to 28.8 billion rubles, position reinforced by 77% of Sistema's cash being denominated in U.S. dollars. The largest cash outflows in the fourth quarter included the mentioned debt repayment, as well as acquisition of the MTS Bank's shares for 9.5 billion rubles, planned investments, as well as planned interest payment in SSTL, acquisition of Concert Club Company and agricultural company STEP. In 2015, 15 billion rubles of bank loans should be repaid. Out of this amount, we have already repaid 8.6 billion rubles from the start of this year. Sistema currently has sufficient liquidity at hand to service debt obligations in accordance with their current maturity schedules, and the company will endeavor to repay facilities that mature with cash or with new debt facilities. Our financial strategy assumes growth of dividends from developing assets and monetization, such as sale of real estate objects, non-core divestments, and planned exits. At the optimization side, we've executed certain measures to reduce SG&A expenses at the corporate level below $100 million in 2015. We also plan to reduce debt at the holding level and create liquidity cushion of approximately 20 billion rubles to capture attractive M&A opportunities if and when they arise. You can find more information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results, and individual company breakdowns in more detail in our presentation and press release published on our website. I would like to thank you for your attention and hand the call over to Evgeny.
Thank you, Vitalet. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press star 2. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. And we'll take the first question from Ivan Kim of VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. two questions, please. Firstly, on the dividends. What will be, I mean, we all know the policy of 10% of net income and 10% of the asset sales. What would be the base for the dividend from 2014 earnings? Because obviously there were a lot of one-offs and, you know, your income from continuing operations, let's say, has been 1.2 billion. Will that be the base or something else? That's the first question. And the second question is on the primary target industries for your investment, because you obviously have quite a bit of firepower now. Can you outline probably some of the most interesting industries for you? And if not, maybe you can tell us whether you want to primarily increase your export exposure or that's not really a target short term. Thank you.
On dividends, we don't intend really at this point to disclose the size of dividends or the logic which we will use to define those dividends besides pure logic of calculating our cash flow and sort of staying between a reasonable level of debt, a reasonable level of investment that we're planning, and sort of reasonable level of dividend. So this is kind of a trade-off that we will have to make. But you know, our intention is to pay a dividend which will be meaningful. You know, of course, you know, it won't be as big as it was last year or the year before, but we want to make it meaningful. And this is pretty much all I can say at this point. You know, we'll have this discussion in the April board meeting, and we'll be more equipped to talk about specific size after that. As far as indices are concerned, we don't have, I mean, we do have, of course, a portfolio strategy, and we do have an understanding of which industries are more or less attractive in the Russian market. But overall, we tend to look at you know, special situations where we do see opportunities to increase operational efficiency and create value by doing that. Obviously, in sectors and in situations where we do have some structural advantages for businesses, structural competitive advantages. First of all, cost advantage, not only based on the current devaluation, but also looking into the future. And we do have quite a significant pipeline of such activities that we're looking at, and that's pretty much all I can say at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Igor Datler of RMG Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for your presentation. And my question about loss-making assets. Could you please clear up information about perspectives of MTS Bank and RTE? What are you going to? In what way are you going to reorganize these assets, or maybe are you going to sell off them? Thank you.
Okay, on loss-making assets, MTS Bank obviously suffered from the overall kind of banking crisis, as most of the consumer banks did in Russia, and this is something that we probably couldn't have avoided, at least to a large extent. And one of the things we have done was a management change in the bank. There is a new CEO of the bank, which started recently, and you know, we believe that we found the right person to transform the bank into something more operationally successful than currently exists. But we don't see really further much risks in the bank, and we believe that 2014 was sort of a one-off event, and we may see some remains of the reserves and issues of 2014 and 2015, but by 2016 we are pretty confident that the bank is going to be profitable and performing quite well. As far as Envision is concerned, we do have a very clear restructuring plan. We expect to divest this asset and solve the solve the negative EBITDA issue by doing that. We will keep part of the business that is related to so-called safe cities, and it's a profitable and well-structured and working component. We do have a good contractual base. First of all, building safe city or intellectual transport networks and others in Moscow, in Rostov and some other cities of Russia. So that business, but it's in terms of top line, going to be a relatively small business, top line $150 to $200 million with EBITDA of around 8 to 10%. Everything else is going to stop, is going to cease to exist this year. And the third loss-making business is MTS India, but of course we've discussed it at length. And you know, if there are any specific questions about that, I'll be happy to address.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take the next question from Stas Kondratiev of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. First, in your strategy presentation, you highlight specifically that investments will remain focused largely in Russia or near abroad. You also flag it in a financial strategy that you are will decrease the foreign currency debt and will reduce financing of loss-making subsidiaries. And in that sense, Indian assets looks at least currently standing out in your portfolio and in terms of the medium-term financial strategy and M&A strategy. So the question is, could you give us an update on your at least medium-term outlook for Indian business and your plans like on any turnaround there, et cetera, and how you are going to deal with all those obligations which are in India? And the second question is on Jet Kemir. A year ago, you were planning to go to IPO, but market conditions deteriorated clearly. Then you agreed to sell a minority stake to a Russian-Chinese investment fund, but later press speculated that negotiations somewhat stopped. So the question is, if possible, could you give us any update on your plans to find a partner in Jet Kemir to sell it, like a relatively big stake or a minority stake? If you still have any, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. On SSTL first. Our strategy on SSTL remains the same. We're optimizing the business, downsizing it, essentially reducing the scale to minimize cash out from Sistema. And at the same time, we're looking for ways to find partners for this business and monetize the frequency, the resource that this business contains. Basically, if you look at the results of frequency auctions, which were just completed last week in India, you will see that the 800 megahertz spectrum, which in the auction of 2013, where we were the only participant, since then the price has increased fourfold. So basically, what we paid in 2013 now is 4x what people have paid, and there were many participants, at least four, that purchased the 800 megahertz band in this auction, which basically means that the value of our frequency packet all of a sudden increased quite dramatically, and I think we are now looking with a lot more optimism to increase the value of our business despite its purely operational performance on the basis of the frequency that it has. So on top of just optimizing the business operationally and reducing the cash out and reaching break-even on the EBITDA, we now also have leverage of the frequency resource, and we're engaging in negotiations with multiple partners in India looking for various solutions how we can combine our network with someone else's network to increase its efficiency and improve EBITDA and realize the value that that we have. We're not planning any new investments in this business. We did not participate in the last auction because we considered the price to be too high, but we do believe that the resource, frequency resource that we have now has substantial value. And the second question was on Jet Kemir. Yes, everything is still in plans and intact. We believe business is performing exceptionally well. We are not taking IPO option off the table. We'll have to decide exactly what is the right time, and you know we don't even rule out this year, depending on the circumstances. It looks like the environment, so to speak, is improving. And if it continues to improve and we don't have any major kind of disasters coming in, I think, you know, we'll definitely look at the opportunity very, very closely. And as far as the deal with investment funds, RDIF including, those discussions also haven't stopped. Obviously, in autumn, for quite obvious reasons, this deal didn't take place. but it doesn't mean that it may not happen in the future. Again, we are not stretched for cash at this point, so we don't have an immediate need to sell off Detsky at any cost. We want to find the right balance between reaching the optimal price target and at the same time leaving some growth on the table for investors to come in, because we do believe that Detsky Mir is only starting now. I mean, it has around 10% of the market, and it can go much, much further.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Anna Lepotikina of Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I have two questions. First of all, I just wanted to ask about METI, because METI reported negative EBITDA in the fourth quarter, and you explained it by the new marketing program. Can you talk us through this program, and when do you think it will start bearing fruits, and where to see boosting revenues growth as a result of this marketing campaign? And secondly, I just wanted to get your kind of view for 2015 for your assets, given that they are mostly exposed, that the majority of these assets are exposed to consumer spending and generate revenues in rubles. Basically, how you view 2015? Do you expect all your assets to be EBITDA positive, or you think that some will suffer more than others and there are risks for certain assets?
Yeah, on starting with METI, the biggest change in METI that started in 2014 and will take full effect in 2015 is the cancellation, or not even cancellation, I guess is the right word, of the Moscow City health contract. Because when we put together a joint venture between METSI and Moscow City government, we acquired three large hospitals and five outpatient clinics. And together with this five outpatient clinics and three hospitals, we got so-called Moscow City government contract in a form of fixed amount of money, which was paid to METSI from Moscow City government to serve Moscow City government employees. And in 2014, essentially, Moscow Mayor's office made a decision to discontinue this contract and transfer Moscow City government employees onto a regular kind of commercial health insurance, which reduced cash inflow into METSI and revenues dramatically, and we started having this impact in fourth quarter, and you know, we'll have it full blast in 2015, which was basically a part of the strategy altogether, and we have to replace Moscow City government employees with the commercial clients from the market, and METSI is undertaking substantial efforts to do that, at the same time restructuring and reconstructing these hospitals and clinics, because obviously they are not equipped to the standards that METSI wants to adhere to. Also, we're investing both CAPEX and OPEX in a number of new projects. The biggest is the new hospital in the location of former Clinic 32, which also belonged to the Moscow City government a few years back. It's a brand new building, which was just erected now, last year, and we're planning to put this new hospital into production starting June. So this also has some impact on OPEX and CAPEX. So basically 2015 is going to be a difficult year for METSI in terms of OEBDA. We do expect positive OEBDA for the year. We do expect a lot of new capacity introduced into the market, but don't expect big operational results from METSI in 2015. I think 2016 is going to be a much better year, because we will see the effect of commercial clients coming in, plus we'll see the effect of two new hospitals being opened, plus we'll see the effects of all the cost reduction on the old Moscow facilities, because obviously the size of those hospitals and the number of beds was bigger than the commercial demand, and we are undergoing some restructuring efforts. So METSI is working pretty hard in this respect, but the year to look for is 2016 rather than 2015. And as far as ruble devaluation is concerned, it's actually very simple. Yes, most of our businesses are consumer-based and are ruble-based, and there is not much that we can do about it. We just have to go with the economy and hope for the best. Our basic belief is that Russia will remain a market economy, and the market economy will develop. We believe that devaluation of the ruble and reduction in oil price creates opportunities for local production in Russia and for the revival of parts of the Russian industry, and we are willing to invest, and we're planning to invest in those opportunities. We have Russia being our main area of expertise, our experience, our skills, our people. This is where we do have competitive advantage. And yes, we are taking the country risk because, you know, we are inseparable from this country, and that's why we're not going abroad any big time, because we don't have competitive advantage and we don't have expertise abroad, and it will take us a few years to develop, you know, our international practices. So we are focused on this market. We fully realize the so-called country risks, but we are trying to be as good and the best, basically, we can in this market. As far as some currency businesses, currency inflows, we are looking at a number of targets, and our recent investment in forestry business and pulp and paper, Less Invest, is exactly in that sort of line of businesses, because 61% of Less Invest revenues are hard currency revenues generated from sales in mostly Eastern and Western Europe. This is the business that we can grow significantly, and we're looking at a number of business opportunities like that. Another example is RZ Agro, our agribusiness, with a focus on wheat, almost 100% of which is being exported to the Middle East also for hard currency. So we're working on it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Dilya Ibragimova of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my question. I had two questions, please, or actually three. First one, in Investgazprom, you have started talking about the potential of the asset. Could you please add a bit more on what you expect for 2015 and what you're doing? Where do you see the growth areas? Which markets is it going to? What do you expect on the local market? How do you expect any growth? And then Europe, I think, is your largest market at the moment. Are there any other geographies that you're potentially looking at to expand sales for Lespro? And also, are you looking to expand this business, and how quickly would you plan to do that? And perhaps if you can elaborate more, whether it's going to be paper sacks or whether that's going to be plywood or any other areas. I guess it just goes a bit more detail on what your plans are with regards to Lespro, which does seem to be very interesting asset. My second question is with regards to MTS Bank. When you look at the guidance that banks are giving, have been giving so far, the Sberbank is expecting return equity in single digits, and like other smaller banks, they are expecting to be profitable, but the market is clearly worried about the profits. What do your expectations are for MTS Bank, and what are your plans there? Like you did mention that you would limit. I think you did mention that you would limit investments into MTS Bank, including in. Could you elaborate more on the strategy that you have for in the short term versus longer term? And also, when we're looking at banking, your M&A pipeline that you mentioned, does that include any banks? If you could perhaps mention something on that. And my third question is with regards of MTS SSTL. You did mention that you are downsizing at the moment. Could you add a bit more details on what exactly you're doing. Is this your downsizing related to focusing more on data subscribers and perhaps reducing exposure to voice, or is it something else? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your questions. Starting with Left Invest. Left Invest basically has three key lines of business. One line of business are paper sacks, and this is the key focus of Left Invest. Second one is birch plywood, and third one is wooden log houses and wooden products. So on paper sacks, Left Invest has around 20% market share in Europe and around 70% market share in Russia. So it is basically an undisputed leader, at least in Russia, in paper sacks, and a significant player in Europe. Currently, it's working up to 100% capacity, so we don't really have additional volumes available in our plans, and we'll have to invest in basically adding more capacity and increasing throughput of existing capacity. But the key opportunity lies in optimizing production and optimizing the cost, because our logging, how do you call it, the timber production, cutting off trees and delivering them to the plant, is a lot more expensive than we wanted it to, and we know ways how to reduce this expense. Also, the biggest advantage of Left Invest in the paper sacks business is its level of overall operational cost. Of course, also influenced by devaluation, now we have the lowest production cost in the world, and we can sell our products and expand market share depending on, increasing of our capacity throughput, but basically all of our investment program is focused on optimizing existing production, cutting down the cost, increasing throughput. We don't plan any significant new investments in new facilities at this point in paper sack business, but rather optimizing the existing business on hand, at least for the year 2015. As far as birch plywood is concerned, again, very attractive EBITDA, very attractive EBITDA margin, 100% capacity utilization, market which is not satisfied, lowest cost in the cost curve, again, globally. Not a very big producer. I mean, there is a much bigger player in Russia called Sviza, but still very modern production line. Plans to increase production twofold by building another line, and that we will start doing in 2015. Wooden houses, more difficult, I mean, highly profitable. Again, in wooden products, you know, almost 70% of all of that exported to Europe. Again, using advantage of cheap resource base and ruble devaluation, potential to increase by cutting operating costs, increasing the efficiency, increasing the production efficiency. But wooden housing is a separate kind of light item, separate business. We'll have to come up with a separate strategy for this. At this point, it's not very clear exactly to which extent we'll be able to grow this business, but it definitely is a good contributor to EBITDA margin. Target for this year is to at least increase EBITDA 2.5 times as compared to last year. Business is zero debt, cash flow positive. We'll be investing from its own cash flow. Will not require any outside investments from Sistema. And basically, we're looking at a number of M&A opportunities in pulp and paper sector in Russia. Nothing committed, but clearly a business which we see as something that can grow into. I wouldn't call, you know, a second leg, but something significant. This is on the forestry business. The second was what was the second? MTS Bank. Yes, on MTS Bank. Right now, MTS Bank is a mid-sized universal bank, which has corporate business, retail business, private banking business, and investment business. We're not planning on any aggressive investments in the bank. Our plan is to build a professional team, a highly professional team, and technology and improve marketing, sales, client service capabilities of the bank. The bank remains and performs a number of important corporate functions for Sistema as a group, including, you know, protecting our funds, which, you know, in volatile times of the crisis, it's very important to have, you know, a bank you control to keep your money in. And, you know, this concept has proven itself once again. And MTS Bank does have some competitive advantages because of maintaining some of the Sistema Group funds on its balance sheet. Therefore, the funding of MTS Bank is lower than some of the peer banks, and it gives it some competitive advantage. Second competitive advantage is its presence in MTS retail network and ability to leverage MTS brand working with consumers and ability to leverage MTS for scoring based on the MTS customers' scoring data. So all that combined, we believe, will give us a mid-sized profitable bank. And as far as future investments are concerned, no particular plans, no aggression. We'll see, you know, what results we'll get in 2015. We don't expect any further losses from the bank. Downsizing of SSTL. Key direction, reducing voice subsidies, increasing data. Okay.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Sergey Vasin of Gazprom Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you for taking questions. Well done for decent results in the circumstances. I guess my question is regarding the cash you are due to receive from Euroinvest due to this recent settlement agreement you signed. The first question is, when roughly you're due to receive this, and what are you going to do with it? Because it's a kind of excessive liquidity, apart from all this, which is funding M&A pipeline and probably partially dividends. Do you consider anything special with your debt? I mean, you know, any buyback of your bonds or stuff like that? And just if you give any additional color on your debt policy, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
The proceeds from Ural will start receiving essentially this week. This week, uh-huh. Next week, so it's rather soon. Everything is signed, agreement is signed, court approved, so we don't have any impediments for receiving those funds. As far as the further use of those funds is concerned, we don't really disclose at this point. It will be a combination of some of the debt restructuring, you know, some of the new investments. There are some deposits which, you know, are out there, which some of them we would not want to break. Given that we would, you know, lose money on the interest on those on those deposits, so it's a much more detailed discussion than we can have now over the phone. But we do have a plan and a rough idea what we want to do with this.
Okay, well, fair enough. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Alexander Vengranovich of Otquity Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Two questions from my side. First, a quick follow-up on Lesinvest and probably the other assets which are generating revenues in hard currency. What sort of the exchange rate do you use for your forecasts for the financial results in 2015? So that will be helpful to understand what sort of growth is organic and what sort of growth is driven by ruble devaluation. And the second question is about Ozone and Concept Group Investments. So can you please tell us what you're thinking about this as right now? I understand just a little bit of time which passed since the acquisition of these assets. And what are you planning to do right now? I mean, are you happy with the investment? You want to stay with the current share of ownership, or you have some more additional plans on these assets, how you can monetize them? Thank you.
Well, as far as Lesinvest is concerned, I can tell you that around 30% of EBITDA increase is due to currency exchange, and about 70% is due to operational improvements. just to save you from the calculations. And operational improvements include both reduction of costs in the production process, but also increase in sales, because we just added load to all of the plants, and we increased the capacity utilization over the last 4 months. As far as Ozone is concerned, we see now that Ozone is improving its performance. We're quite optimistic about the future of Ozone. We're not planning to exit Ozone at this point and in the nearest future. We believe that in 3-4 years' time, Ozone is going to be worth significantly more than it is today, and we're planning to stay there as investor, realizing synergies that we intended to realize with both MTS and Detsky Mir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a follow-up question from Anna Lepotikina of Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. I just wanted to ask about debt maturity profile. In 2015, you showed that debt that is due is around 100 billion rubles. If I deduct MTS and the kind of the debt at the holding level, I'm left with about 39 billion, 40 billion rubles. I just wanted to ask, how much of this debt is guaranteed by Sistema, and what share you think you will have to repay, or kind of you plan to refinance the whole amount? Thank you.
Guaranteed by Sistema is the debt of MTS India in the amount, total amount is around $600 million. We did receive all the waivers from all the lenders and the banks, including Chinese banks, on this debt. So we don't expect, the payout schedule is reasonable over the next 5 to 7 years. There are no peaks, and there is no immediate kind of case of banks bringing this debt to us and us having to pay off this debt in after 2015 or 2016. So we don't see this danger, and we've basically did a lot of work with the banks over the last 6 months to change our covenants and restructure conditions, and we received waivers from pretty much everyone after the Bashneft loss took place, so we don't see any debt risks going further at this point.
Sorry, how much did you say? I didn't quite get the number for MTS India.
$600 million.
Ah, so it is due in 2015 and you've extended this loan?
No. It was, we had some covenants that basically said that we are to lose an asset such as Bashneft, and we did lose Bashneft last year, as you know. Then the banks had the right to come to us now and bring those loans to us and ask us to repay the loans back. And what I'm saying is that we worked with all of the banks, and we did receive waivers from pretty much everyone, and now we don't have this problem anymore.
I see.
Anna,
okay, thank you.
Come back to Anna and see if getting. Let us come back to you after this call offline in terms of the debt repayment in India. We just don't have this information in front of us, but we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining this call. Have a very good evening. Take care. Bye.